This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Boys and girls, for another special edition of the Michael Deacon program. Joining me in a moment is Daniel Christos from Bomb Busters Podcast. We'll be talking about his book, Priestcraft: Beyond Babylon. It's a close look at the origins of ancient cults, their practices, and their continued influence on the world. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for this one. It's going to be an awesome program. And joining me right now is Daniel. How's it going, my friend?
Good, sir. How are you today?
I am doing a lot better now. The mood has shifted. Early in the morning, all kinds of things went south. All hell broke loose, but everything's back on track. I'm in the clouds now, and I'm feeling much better. And Daniel, I'm seeing you. You're smiling. You look happy. You got the whole green screen behind you, it seems.
Yeah. Hey, that didn't fool you?
Oh, not shit. At all.
Okay.
It's not my first rodeo.
Right.
But it's no, I like it though. I do like it.
Looks heavy cool. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're going to have a bookshelf back there and a bearskin rug, fireplace.
That'd be cool.
That's the next step for you, I think.
Yeah.
I think you should. You got to get a new one. After this, I want a whole library behind you.
It makes it look smarter, right, when you have books behind you?
Yeah.
It kind of gives the illusion that you know how to read.
It makes you look like you're from the UK.
Oh, right. They all do that, don't they?
They do. They really do, and none of them know how to read. I'm kidding, UK fans. We have a big listenership out there in the UK, so sometimes I'll say inappropriate things about them, and they appreciate it.
Yes. So, it means that you care. You're remembering them to mention them.
Nice. That's right. But regardless of that, Daniel, always a pleasure to talk to someone else who actually hosts their own program, too.
Yeah. Not to the extent that you have.
What do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I've been kicked off of so many things. I've started over so many times. I'm, you know, on Rumble now, but I got booted off of YouTube twice. Patreon kicked me off. Twitter a long time ago, so
happens. That's part of the game, getting kicked off of YouTube. This is like my 20th this is like my 15th channel, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a badge of honor to get booted off and get back on there again.
Yeah, the concept of the reset, it's like anybody who has a show knows all about reset.
That's right, and your show is on Rumble, and I gotta be honest with you, Rumble is like the ghetto version of YouTube, in my opinion.
No, you're right, but I can't say what I need to say without apparently being kicked off anyway. I had 13 strikes before.
Jesus.
Because you know how they fall off? I had 13 strikes.
13?
13.
And they're all about COVID, I bet.
Some of them. And then some of them are just bizarre, you know, violation of this or that. So
that's hilarious. But wear it as a badge of honor. But, you know, Rumble is a good platform for anyone, really, in my opinion. It's a good place. But when I say that, I just think, you know, they are lacking just a little bit. But give them more time and they'll get there one day.
Being that they're in Canada, though, that's not going to bode well because of their cracking down of Canadian content and not smart enough to leave. Just like, BitChute wasn't smart enough to get out of, you know, the UK when things started happening over there. So they could have just moved the servers and been fine, but they didn't do it.
Yeah, that's right. They're actually in Canada.
Mm-hmm. China does now.
Right, right. Yeah, I feel bad for all the Canadians out there that have to put up with that. It's a terrible situation that they have Trudeau out there, and he's a nasty man, in my opinion.
He made some really strange comments, very dismissive comments about his brother Michel when he died in a quote-unquote avalanche.
Right.
Yeah, very weird. If he was just home playing video games or chess, then he never would have. It's like, really? So be an agoraphobe. Go an agoraphobe. I can't talk. Sorry. There we go.
There you go.
There you go.
I understand. Also, I wanted you to sort of tell the listeners a little bit about yourself in regards to the program that you do. I feel like plenty of people would love what you produce, my friend.
Okay. So, 5 or so years ago, I started a channel. I listened to everybody, but not thinking that they had all the facts or the, you know, maybe they cursory, you know, didn't get too deep into it. But I always found more things I could say instead of typing in the comments all day. I was like, well, why don't I just say this in a video? And I had been reading a lot, so some of them were, you know, dissertations basically, or presentations on Eustace Mullins and murder by injection, or some things I would read out of Behold a Pale Horse. But then I just kind of got into picking out topics and going with it. And so 5 years deep, I've started getting guests on maybe the last year and a half. I've had Dr. Brian Artis on like 40 times, a lot of other people, Dr. Peter Glidden. So a lot of it's talking about health and like trying to dispel the programming of, you know, allopathy on people so that maybe we can get them out of that rut and stop, you know, Bechamp pretty much stomped out that whole germ theory idea in the 1800s, but it prevailed because one guy had a hidden hand and the other one didn't. So.
Absolutely. And Daniel, don't get offended when I say this, but you seem like such a normal guy. You know, you're a dad. Yeah, you know, you have the wife there, everything seems pretty normal. And I'm wondering, how on earth did you get involved in all this nonsense here, all this madness, Daniel?
Okay.
You seem a good guy. How'd you get tangled in this web?
My daughter was born 7 years ago, and we were in San Diego at the time.
Nice.
In El Cajon. And we went through the whole process of having a birthing plan notarized so that they would do the things that we wanted them to do and not do the things we didn't want them to do, as far as shots and
That
crap in my daughter's eyes and all that stuff.
Okay.
So we made them sign that. And our first wellness check, 2 months later, the pediatrician that we had seen at the hospital the day of the birth, you know, he has like flair on his hat. He has all these little buttons, trying to make himself look like a nice old grandpa, right?
Oh, no.
He's like, well, you know what time it is, right? I was like, why would you think that we would go through all that trouble there just to cave in 2 months later? I'm like, it's not happening. And there was this guy that was in the room with us who had a clipboard. He had like way too, you know, well cut of a beard and like one of those t-shirt shirts with a tie. And I was trying to figure out what he was doing there. And come to find out, he was a pharmaceutical rep.
Oh, shit.
He was there to, you know, watch and witness the injection. That never happened because we didn't let it happen. But being two people, my whole family is in New York. Rebecca's is scattered. from Brazil to, you know, way out in LA. So, you know, I just didn't want to have to continually deal with that and have my daughter subjected to potential danger or being called unfit parents or whatever. You know, I just figured, let's just go someplace where we can raise our daughter without any kind of scrutiny. So I did some research and closest I could get away, you know, I had to still be near my store because my store is in Old Town San Diego and we make 35 different varieties of hot sauce, all handcrafted. So I had to go to Yuma, and Yuma has actually been really good to us since 2016. But I just wanted to get my daughter out of that situation, you know, away from danger, even if it was just preventative before anything bad happened. I didn't want to wait for something to happen.
Right.
You know, so, and that, but that was the reason, the spark that kind of made me want to start getting into this stuff was, yeah, this stuff is pretty messed up. The more research that Rebecca was pulling out during her pregnancy about, you know, vaccines got me alarmed. And we had started putting together like a big, huge, thick, you know, information packet that our plan was to, you know, give it away to people. And when we moved, it all just went into a box and we never saw it again. But that's when I started the channel and just started kind of like going through the things that we had learned. And from there, just kind of took off to, whenever I had time, I'd sit down and make a video.
Okay, very nice, very nice. And let's go back even further here for a moment. You said you're from New York, correct?
Yes, Saratoga Springs area.
Okay, so take us back to 9/11 and those around you and your family. I'm sure they were very much like every other American at the time, very pro-war.
It's messed up because I was in the U.S. Coast Guard at the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my brother, I found out later, he had been at the Twin Towers on a school trip 2 weeks prior to that. And he didn't just miss it, but I mean, it was close enough for me, you know?
Wow.
And I was in Cabo at the time. I think we had just gotten off of like a 29-day, you know, what do you call it, deployment. And we had about 10 hours worth of leave before we got called back onto the boat. Everybody got called back into the sea. Everybody had to take their boats out of foreign harbors and all that stuff. So somebody knocked on our door. We're all hungover or worse because, I mean, it is Mexico, right? And they just called. I opened the door, hid from my boat, walked right past me, didn't even look at me, and turned on the TV and just sat down. And more people started knocking on the door and coming in the one hotel room that we had. And there was a huge crowd in there, and we're just sitting there watching as what we thought we saw was a second, quote unquote, airplane hit the building. So,
right, right.
Yeah.
So, it must have been pretty wild for you to see that, obviously, as it was for everyone else during that time period. And I'm wondering now, though, when all this happened, initially, I'm sure you were upset and you were probably like everyone else who wanted revenge at one time.
It's so crazy how that worked too, because we were in the Coast Guard, I mean, we get shown what they want us to see. You know, we're listening to George W. Bush's speeches, and that's what they're getting us all huddled around to look at. And can you not yell, babe?
That's okay. We like yelling here.
Rebecca's in the background yelling at her son. Yeah, sorry. And so yeah, I mean, I was under the delusion as well. Patriotism, I really bought into it for sure. And I was in the telecommunications as my rate, so I had to have top secret clearance to do that. And I had to report like message traffic to the officer of the watch or the captain directly. So when I got back to the boat, these are all flash Z rated messages, which basically means the most urgent, everything else gets put off to the side. And it was all Al-Qaeda this, Al-Qaeda that. Like, they just immediately knew because...
They knew already.
Very strangely, already knew ahead of time. So, looking back at it, it looked like quite the setup, but you don't really see that when you're in the moment, you know?
Absolutely. You really don't exactly know for sure, but that morning I actually got kicked out of class for raising my hand and saying, what if our government had any involvement into today's activities? And I got my ass booted out of the room quickly, by the way. So day one, I was already instigating. But that's because I was on message boards going back yesteryear. I was looking up all kinds of stuff, and conspiracies was one of them. And that goes way back in the early 2000s, if you can recall the Wild West days of the internet. And the you know, its inception in the days of trolling AOL chat rooms. I was there for that. I was the one doing it. But yeah, I was already following along and thinking this seems a bit odd, a bit suspicious. So I've never really took the bait, and the many Americans did, and I don't hold them, you know, I don't hold that against them or anything like that. A lot of people fell for it. The propaganda was running high. Anyone who questioned the narrative was already deemed a piece of shit and an asshole and a traitor, and you should die if you don't think anything else. And we've been seeing a lot of that here in America. The propaganda's still been running quite high, my friend. And I'm wondering now, Daniel, when was it for you personally that you sort of broke free from the CIA-operated news? Regards to 9/11, when was it for you where you're like, oh, shit, that was a lie?
Right. Well, what's funny about that is I've always been very against the grain of establishment, institution, and authority 100%. But I just wasn't quite there yet with this stuff, right? So it wasn't very long after. It was when I actually thought about it again, was probably when I left the Coast Guard, which was not more than 2 years after that. But I mean, it never really added up as far as the Qurans, their passports, a blood sample, and a bottle of urine to identify them fell out of the airplane before it hit, so that they weren't even scorched or burnt. So it's just so we could identify who they were. It was kind of a little strange that they found all those things intact, right? The passports and whatnot.
Oh yeah, the passports that were still perfectly unharmed, unscathed in any way. They were just right there laying on the street.
Yeah.
How convenient.
Exactly. So I don't know. I didn't really put too much thought into it at the time, but I was always like very suspicious of, you know, the news. I didn't really pay too much attention to news, but that one, you know, just in that heat of the moment, though, during when it first happened and all the rallying and all that stuff and the speeches, yeah, they had us all in a group there. So that hive-minded think, I guess, kind of just got me, because I didn't have my guard up about it, you know.
Of course not.
What we were seeing, and that's what it was.
Everyone has that moment of clarity where they snap out of it, where you're like, damn, I was fed a lot of bullshit at the time, and I fell for all of it. But now with all the things that have happened with the election and with the China dust, I think everyone's starting to really open their eyes and see what's been going on for the last well, since our inception, history and what we thought we knew is all a lie.
Yeah, as far as specifics, like I wasn't really... See, that's the thing is, it was more about the overall that kind of got me swept up. It wasn't really so much about any specific detail, because we weren't really given all those details. We were on a boat half the time or doing some kind of work. So they kept us busy, and we just heard updates on what was going on and whether or not anything was going to happen with the way we were being deployed or not, even though we were still in the Coast Guard. Like, they've had people in the Coast Guard go lots of places before, and people don't get that. So, I mean, there was a potential that something could have happened, given what, you know, it was a domestic attack, apparently, by Mossad or CIA, our government, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's a... There was different characters that all pulled this off together, including all the people you mentioned. It was a joint effort.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Then, you know, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, the only thing that I always wonder, and it bothers me tremendously, I always think, how can you convince others, though, about all these things that we're talking about? You know, I have a co-host, Mike Hideous.
Mike's awesome.
It's a good example. You know, I love Mike. And one of the reasons why he's on the program to begin with is that we think a lot alike, but in many ways we don't. and we differentiate from a lot of things, and this being one of them. He thinks the government would never harm the American citizens. He has a lot of trouble grasping that concept. Even if you show him different things, he still doesn't want to believe. I don't understand it, really. It boggles my mind. But there's so many other people just like him out there in America that they can't really... It doesn't register in their mind for some odd reason that our government doesn't exactly have our best interest at heart.
Is that like the Yuri Bezmenov effect, you know, the subversion type of thing?
Where it might,
you can get showing a stack of evidence and you just can't, it doesn't process?
Right. I think that might be his issue. But that's an issue with a lot of people in America, even today. And I see it all the time.
So what does he think COVID was about? He didn't think that was a government run? And, you know, would the scare you into taking the actual poison with the shot?
Well, he already succumbed to that. He's already jabbed.
Oh, man.
It's a terrible thing, I know.
Yeah, that's very terrible, because who knows if there's just a shelf life on whatever's been shot into you before it breaks down and releases whatever poison's in there, you know? If you want to believe anything about the lipid nanoparticles or whatever else, it could be just little tiny beads of poison just ready to, like, a ticking time bomb.
Well, I'm glad you're not jabbed up. Neither am I.
And that's the reason why we left, you know, San Diego, is to keep our daughter away from that stuff. So.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you did that. She doesn't eat that. That influence.
No, she doesn't. And we have her in charter school. We homeschooled the first year. If anything should happen with this nonsense they're talking about now, she'll be quickly taken out of that school and back into homeschool again. And I'll be happy to do that.
Oh, that's right. In California, I recall they wanted to sort of do something with the students like that, right? They wanted to mandate the jab to enter back into school for some places in California.
Even a mask. She's not wearing a mask. So if they even impose that, she's out of there.
She's gone.
Yeah. We're not going to have her feel like she's a, you know what I mean? It's just that it's a psychological thing, and I'm not letting my daughter be subjected to that.
To be honest,
they'll see a little Rambo dad in there instead. You know?
Yeah. To be honest with you, I actually enjoyed the whole mask facade. Simply because I've always kind of wanted to wear like a mask in a way. And I always thought it was kind of cool, like I was going to be like a bank robber. In my mind, I'm like, this is really cool. I get to like act out some of these weird fantasies I have here.
The anonymity thing is probably why they did it too, right?
It was cool. It was kind of cool. I got to be honest with you. But I know a lot of people had issues with it and all that jazz. And I just thought, you know, there's so many ugly faces out there, Daniel, that I don't want to see. So I'm glad. I'm glad there were some women that had the mask on, including men, because there's a lot of ugly looking guys out there, too. A lot of gross looking creatures out there, Daniel. I hate to be mean, but I'm just being honest with you. So, you know, the mask didn't really bother me all that much. There's some faces that should be seen and other faces, not so much.
You shop at Walmart a lot, huh? Seeing all those ugly faces.
Well, they're too. Yeah, go to Walmart late at night. You see a lot of interesting characters. That's why I go to Walmart, Daniel, to see the freak show.
Cheap entertainment.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, I like the circus, so I go to Walmart. Plenty of clowns and all kinds of shit going on there, Daniel. Always a good time at 2 a.m. at a Walmart.
Oh, that was pre-COVID, because they all close at 11 now.
Yeah, now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They do. These were the good old days. These were the pre-COVID BC, I like to say. Oh, yes. And Daniel, by the way, I'm looking at your microphone there, and I'm looking at that the windscreen there. Yes, I used to actually use one of those when I was doing a voiceover stuff once in a while.
Yeah, it's a Shure mic with a little Tesla sticker on it just to make it mine. But yeah, this thing, I don't know, I snap or whatever. It's a little sensitive. I probably just need a better system, so I just put the extra cover on it.
Yeah, you sound good here, though.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, you sound great. Yeah, it all worked out. You don't need to change anything. You sound fine.
All righty.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So going back to all this stuff here, I'm glad you're sharing this with me. I'm sure you talked about this before, but you know, with this audience, they like knowing a little bit about you. Yeah. And then now I want you to tell us a little bit about that book of yours that you have as well.
Okay, so through the course of me trying to gather data, because the first 20 something years of my life, I wasn't really doing that. I mean, I loved history, so I kind of just started there. But if you know, for the longest time, I wouldn't read Behold a Pale Horse because it sounded like it was some kind of biblical BS, and I didn't want to deal with that.
I see.
You know, it's like, I don't want to be preached at.
Are you heavily religious, Daniel?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
I mean, let's put it this way. I believe in God. I'm probably more of an early Christian / Gnostic type, but even though they never called themselves that, you know, it's pretty plausible to me that there's a demiurge and that the Old Testament's not talking about the guy they think they're talking about. Just based on some of the things he was commanding other people to do. So I don't know.
Understood.
And why not trust the people that lie about everything else with your own religion? I mean, you might as well just adopt that. Go for it.
I don't really follow any biblical scriptures of any sorts, really. But I believe there for sure could be a God. So I guess I'm sort of agnostic, and I've always have been. But I've always said I was a kind of like a... I guess you can say not an agnostic atheist. Well, actually, yeah, we can go with that. I was an agnostic atheist at one time, but now I'm just agnostic, I guess you can say.
Yeah, and that basically means the something's out there. You're just having to...
Something's out there, but man, you know, man isn't exactly the most smartest creature in the world like we're led to believe. You know, man is smart, but let's not kid ourselves.
Right,
we can't do that. So no one really knows, and following anyone else that claims to know, I think they're full of shit. But the Bible is just man's interpretation of all of it, and as you know, Daniel, man can't really explain some of these things at all, really.
Right, and then when you get into like the mystery school influence on some of these older works of writing or whatever you want to call them from the Torah and stuff like that, I mean, things were written so that there was an outside layer for the people who weren't initiated to understand the literals, and then something underneath that only the people that knew, you know, the terminology, the metaphors, and the symbolism would actually understand. So even there, they could say it plainly, but it would mean different things to different people, depending on their level of understanding.
Correct.
So how do you go? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in my mind, this is all part of social control.
Of course.
To an essence. And that's where you have to be careful. Not you, but I'm just saying in general, you always have to discern everything, really. Use discernment. That's a habit we forget to do as human beings.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, when I finally did read Behold a Pale Horse, I was, you know, it got me inspired. Like every little thing that I would read, I'd be inspired to read more. And I just spent a lot of time doing reading. I read Age of Reason, the taboo book of Thomas Paine, which is so funny that people embrace common sense, but they reject Age of Reason, right?
Right.
It's like, oh, he's not saying what I want him to think to say. Whatever, it was it made a lot of sense to me. So, and it kind of challenged the whole religious thing and, you know, some of the things that have gone on in the Old Testament.
Oh, yeah.
That got me thinking too. And I'm like, absolutely. I mean, I was Italian and in upstate New York. So, of course, I was raised Catholic. I did the whole communion and confirmation and all that stuff. But then my parents started going to like a Christian church. So they turned their back on Christ. Well, they went from Catholic to Christian. So I guess they'd be turning away from the Jesuits more than anything. But so it's just, you know, it was in my life, but I wasn't really. I always had, like, I felt like I knew that there was a God for sure, but I just never was into any of the crap that I was listening to in Sunday school, because I went to that too. I'd rather have been watching, you know, Pee-wee's Playhouse, because I was on at the same time. And
we all would. church is boring, my friend. That is the most boring thing in the world to me.
Absolutely, especially Catholic church.
Oh my God. Bore me to death, Daniel. Going to those sessions many, many moons back. Some people love that shit. Don't get me wrong. And much love and respect to all of you out there who go to church every Sunday. But, ooh, it would bore me to tears almost. Bore to death out there.
When you start to learning, like, the whole concept behind that church is, like, I'm the vicar of Christ, so I'm putting myself before. So it's like, okay, so first the premise is you have to believe in this religion. And then it's like, now forget all that and believe in this guy. It's like, who now superimposes himself as that character and more important than God.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, if you were born in Israel, you would think that Jesus was boiling in a pit of excrement.
Right, the Talmud. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so it's funny how things would change super quickly by just where you were born and what region you resided.
For sure. And I believe before Muhammad's Islam, most of the, like, the Kaaba and all that, that was all Saturn worship, right? The cube,
right.
The
black cube. That's a very always a fascinating subject as well. The whole Saturn and cube and the connection that still pretty much rules us today.
Right.
See that a lot of you see a lot of symbolism, as you were referring to earlier here. You do see lots of that in pop culture today.
Oh, man, especially in the music videos.
Oh, absolutely. It makes me wonder, are the artists into this, or is it the directors who are the ones who are into it? What was that? Go ahead.
There might be some people that are deep into it, but I think a lot of it's just the record producers and the companies just, projecting what it is that, you know, it's like passing notes in front of people who can't understand what the notes mean.
They're baiting the parents, in my opinion. I think that's all kind of what it is. All these really scandalous videos. The directors know that kids are going to watch it, and they know their parents are going to throw a fit about it and try to make a uproar about it. And that's how all the news gets recycled all the time. These stories of, oh, video games are doing this, music artists are doing that, my kid's doing this. You know what I'm saying? It's sort of the cycle. They want to keep it going through controversy.
I think some of the symbolism in the quote-unquote Illuminati and the Freemasonic stuff, I think a lot of that is to just keep people who look into stuff who aren't that good at discernment and, critical thinking, to keep them busy. It's like a distraction, because it's kind of like is meaningless, but it's something to divert people's attention from what's really going on in the world and how they're screwing you for sure.
Right.
Because you're too busy worried about the entertainment aspect of it and what they're trying to project on you, you know?
Absolutely. Some people forget, though, it's good to go outside, go on a walk, enjoy the air, breathe that air in, and enjoy the ride. I mean, this is all over very, very soon, Daniel. So it's good to appreciate life and what you got now and not dwell on what you don't have. And this person has this. I'm angry about that. I mean, all of that is just bullshit. In the end of the day, we're all going to end up in the same place, regardless of wealth, class, whatever color your skin is. We all die in the end.
Yeah.
So it's better to enjoy shit here since we're here.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I catch myself sometimes too, because it's like,
You got to.
I'm a dad, so I have a lot of stress,
a lot of
responsibilities. And sometimes that actually affects the here and now, like in the moment, because right. I'm with my family and yet I'm thinking about other things. So I'm miles away, even though I'm in the same room, and I have to tell myself to stop doing that and enjoy what's going on at that moment and snap myself out of it, because that those things, those issues, those worries will be there when they're in bed and I can think about them again, you know, but when I'm with them and spending time with them, I need to make the memories, you know, I need to.
That's right.
Be that dad, you know, so.
Oh yeah. And that's the thing about life. You get troubled by just the day-to-day living, the pain of living. I say life is pain.
That's what the Buddhists say, right? They're not really Brahmayana. They say life is suffering.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of full of shit.
You think they're full of shit?
I think Dalai Lama is a little full of shit.
Wasn't he kissing a boy that one time?
Probably.
He asked a kid to kiss him on the mouth, I think.
So are you familiar with Ken Wheeler of Theoria Apophasis on YouTube?
I might have come across that channel.
Sometimes he's called the angry photographer, but I don't think he's been doing too many photography videos in a while.
I think I have come across that. Yeah.
He studied, like he can read ancient Pali and all kinds of stuff. And he's basically saying that what they call and pass off as Buddhism right now is materialism, and it has absolutely nothing in common with the original doctrine.
Oh, wow.
And so I think that's kind of interesting too. It's kind of like co-opted for manipulative purposes, and the Dalai Lama isn't outside of that manipulation. He sounds like it's kind of like a part.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking, because boring is steady, pragmatic, responsible. You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for red carpets, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group Bank, PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Part of it. So it's also interesting that they wear orange. That's kind of like the prison color too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I never even thought about that. Oh my kind goodness. It does put a spin on things, certainly. And yes, actually, going back to what I told you, the Dalai Lama told a kid to suck my tongue. Yes. He actually even apologized after kissing a boy and asking him to suck my tongue. So, yeah, I thought, you know, to be honest with you, I saw the headline and I thought, am I high? Or does this really say that? But no, it really did say that. I went back right now to double check. And yeah, this is at the theguardian.com. For those who are into that news source, there it is right there. Dalai Lama apologizes after kissing boy and asking him to suck my tongue. Well, my friend, that is goddamn disgusting, and I would probably punch him out if that was my son.
Of course.
I would have beat the shit out of this guy. I don't care who you are, you're not going to tell my son, if I had a son, that's pretty much on the lines of getting your jaw broken, in my opinion.
If you'd even stop at that point, I might skewer the fucker.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if I'm going to stop at that point. I mean, that's a violation, in my opinion.
Right, that's predatorial behavior.
Dude, that's out there. That's X-Files shit right there.
And what he you know, it's funny too. I mean, you have Tavistock Beatles being, you know, affiliated with him.
Yeah.
It's just the people that go, that cycle through Dalai Lama. And some of their chants are almost like, I can't remember one, but I actually accidentally showed up at a cult meeting one time in San Diego. And they were doing the little, you know, chant, and it was quote unquote Buddhist, but it was it's basically asking for the end of the world.
Ooh.
And it was, yeah,
interesting.
There's a certain sect of them that they're asking for, like, the I can't even, it's it's been too long for me to actually give you.
Well, that's not exactly that. That's not so uncommon. I think there's lots of religious groups out there who are all about bringing in the apocalypse.
Oh, you mean like Zionism and Christian Zionism?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone's all about it. And sometimes, you know, the program is kind of themed around the end times. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I don't mind if it all goes south, my friend. I think I'm ready to fend for myself, to be honest. I've been waiting for these times for a very long time.
And I'd be okay with that if I wasn't a dad.
I'm just saying, I don't mind. That's all. I mean,
you know what I mean?
To hurt someone legally, sure, that'd be fun.
Oh, no. Like when lawlessness ends, you know, occurs and we're in Mad Max Tellius, I have a big long list. I'm going to be very busy for a very long time.
That's right. That's why I'm like, oh, I love that. I'm going to have too much fun.
Right?
If it happened, by the way. So, you know, maybe I'm just throwing that out there. Just in
my
case.
My favorite Christian was Vlad the Impaler, if that gives you any idea.
Oh, wow. You know, so. Yeah, you're going next level now.
Oh, yeah. He knew how to handle, you know, people
that's hilarious,
pushing them around. You know how to handle bigger, you know, bigger odds. I think there was 120,000 Ottomans coming his way. He had a force of no more than 20,000 at any given time. So the 28 that he had on sticks was a good deterrent for them to say, you know what, let's go the other way.
Yeah, let's turn back.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, but yeah, as a father, of course, you don't want to see anything like that happen. Of course, it's going to affect your daughter. So, no, yeah, of course, you don't want anything like that happening. I'm just saying in a perfect world, that would be kind of fun. I mean, I thought we were going to have fun when the whole China virus thing happened. Then people were hitting the ground. I thought, oh, my God, all my enemies are going to fall down. I'm praying.
That's funny.
It didn't happen, though. You know, it let me down. I thought, damn. Gave me blue balls again.
Do you have any theories yourself personally on like the stages that they of deception that they use to lead a person to the final, you know, shot in the arm? Because I mean, I think it's kind of ridiculous that some people say, well, there was nothing out there. They were just scared into going into. No, people don't stop breathing or can't breathe because they have their mind. Okay. So they probably, some sort of chemical, some sort of poison was in the atmosphere or in certain areas let loose. But the whole virus thing is just, to me, that's a complete misguided, you know, path. So any of this bullshit about, you know, gain of function or lab leak, I still think that's bullshit. I think if it's anything, it's going to be a poison, not a virus, because it's like saying a unicorn got bit by a unicorn and now you're sick.
Right.
So it's
it was very interesting because I've heard so many theories in the beginning and the bio leak was one of them. But I thought, no, there's no way there's going to be a leak, very much like 9/11, how we just sort of, well, in my opinion, we allowed it to happen, very much like what happened in Israel, where they also allowed it to happen. There was intel on what could, and if you look back and read all the stuff, our government did have intel of the whole 9/11 scenario that would most likely happen. And with Israel, they had information going back even further back that this was going to happen. And so there's some correlations right there. I'm trying to bring together here with 9/11 and all these things. I'm bringing them all together here for you. And the whole lab leak thing, I thought, no, not really. They most likely just let it happen. And I'm sure there was ways that they released it on the American citizens. It wasn't just a natural sort of thing happening where someone just gets one person sick and so forth and so forth. It was initially released, I'm sure, in ways we don't even know yet. And as soon as we saw, like, deer. Well, no, when we saw deer getting the virus, getting COVID, I thought, oh, mosquitoes. Bill Gates also into mosquitoes. So I'm thinking, oh, if the animals are getting out in the forest and there's no people there, then, oh, mosquitoes.
Flying syringes.
There you go. Millions of flying syringes going everywhere, just infecting people. I thought, yeah, that's a great way of doing it. That's a great way of spreading a virus, no doubt. And I'm thinking, who could be that diabolical, though? And I thought, oh, fuck, Bill Gates. He's a crazy motherfucker. he would do something like that. Has he done that before in the past? Oh, yeah, at that TED Talk. So, yeah, he would be someone that you would want to talk to if you would want to do that to the American public. And my God, they probably did.
And the timing of when people started getting sick is right around what they call a flu season, right?
That's so right. How convenient.
They were probably getting their flu shots, and that could have been the catalyst that made them sick in the first place, but nobody correlates that for some reason.
So there's probably different ways they did it, and they probably used different ways to infect people.
And if we believe in the nano aspect of it, it could be in our food, water, air, packaging of our food, like all the processed crap you buy at the grocery store.
Well, that's right. And that's what they're doing. And you're onto something there, Daniel, because out in, I think it might have been in Riverside or UC, Riverside or Irvine, one of the colleges around here in California, we're working on putting the vaccine in produce. That's what was going on. Spraying the salads and all that shit. So it's going to happen. They're going to get you with something down the line.
Yeah.
What a weird time. What a weird time we live in, Daniel.
What do you think of Fukushima? Because it didn't go away just because we stopped talking about it. You know what I mean?
The great quake of the great quake of 2010, you say?
Yeah.
I remember being in El Centro, by the way. There was a crazy earthquake in down south. It happened in somewhere in Mexico, close to El Centro, though. And it was like a 7.3, by the way.
Jesus.
So that's all I remember when you throw the 2010 date to me. I just think of the Easter quake that we experienced out there. That was like a goddamn movie. And at that time, I thought Planet X was coming or something, Daniel. I thought, oh, God, we're right on track here.
So, I mean, I think they were talking about, there was people that had like meters and they were going into.
Yeah, but Fukushima, yes. Let's get back to that. Sorry.
Yeah, they were like testing apparently the milk in California, the meats in the grocery stores were all testing really high for radiation. And I think it was around that same time that they started irradiating all food to get rid of quote unquote bacteria. So it's like they had a reason now for why it has a signature when they measured it. It's like everything was orchestrated so that now it could have more than one meaning for why it was radiated, right? But that was way back then. And who knows? I mean, it's a dirty bomb that's constantly self-feeding and it hasn't stopped. I mean, that could have been another factor as to why people started getting sick. And it could also be, you know, if they kicked up some kind of, you know, ELF, EMR, electromagnetic radiation, millimeter waves, all these things together, plus whatever crap is inside your body that could be reacting to that stuff, all these things that people wouldn't see, but I just think all those are more plausible than virus.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like we will probably never know.
Right.
You won't know the whole scenario, what happened. But I'm sure that our country was definitely involved in creating it. Obviously, we were funding it, so that we already do know. So this was pretty much a sort of like a bit of a experiment. It seems like that we just sort of thought, well, let's try and see what happens here.
Have you followed the names they've been giving the quote unquote unicorn variants to? I mean, they had Eris, which was Discordia or Discord, right? The 14 children of Eris are all these violent, wicked things. And then Parola, which basically means dick. That one's the new one. And if you, when you have Eris or Magna Mater, you're looking at basically the same thing with a different name. And it's always followed by Saturn. And Saturn would be the Parola in this. So it's all following their same symbology, the way they're naming these quote unquote variants that they keep making up.
Yes, so, I was wondering about that. I'm like, why are they using these names that mean, what would you're just explaining right now? I did notice that, but I thought, well, why would they do that?
Because it's like putting their signature on it, right? Because where it's being their influence. And then when they were saying that it's like, this one's more specifically going to attack younger children. Well, you have Saturn who eats his children, right? So that's kind of funny that would line up.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With the characteristics and attributes yes. of Saturn, right?
Right. Yes, it's very much out in the open, as they say, what they like to do.
For sure.
But then again, here we go back to that part of Daniel where I say there's some people out there that just don't want to believe any of this.
Yeah, but
they have
a
hard time. It's like, how do you convince those people, though?
You need to?
You don't really
Doesn't
need
that
to, but
work itself out eventually.
Absolutely. Once they realize they've made the mistake of following what their government wanted them to do to a T, then they wake up and say, "Oh, I was wrong."
And that's the only thing that concerns me is that it's not so much that I give a shit what happens, but they weaken everybody else by consenting and following along, because then it makes it harder for people who want to break apart from that to do so, because, you know, the wave is coming this way and you're the droplet, you know, in that water, in that wave. It's hard to push back on it when everybody's going one direction, but you got to be an upstreamer, I guess, and go against the current. But it's just when there's that many people, it's like, it's not even so much that I care to, like, do what you want, but just don't let it affect me and my family. You know, it's like, I don't want to be caught up in that shit.
And those are the people that affect your family, though. That's the problem. Those that hold the most power, they're the ones who pretty much listen to the government to a T. Those that hold the power. They follow along.
Bob, right? Too many numbers, too.
That's the problem. We are the minority. That is the issue. And it's hard to get people to wake up about certain issues out there because, again, they have trouble thinking, oh my God, the government did not do that to us. There's no way. Even though there's a recorded pattern of it, if you look at their track record, it's not very good.
No.
It's not very good at all.
No.
Sometimes I think, is America really the good guys? Or are we the bad guys?
Oh, we're the bad guys. We've been the bad guys since, actually, the American people have been the enemy of the state since 1933, the bankruptcy. You know, declared. Right. So, I mean, we were dissolved as a country, as a republic. There is no government. It's all a facade. It's Jesuit theater for us to continue to follow along and believe in that so that we don't freak out and do something about it. But it's already gone. There's no elections. It's a selection. They'll give you options, perhaps, but they're all going to be doing the same thing because the Federal Reserve and the central banks and the city of London are taking care of this country. And geez, maybe that's why we fight wars for Israel all the time and engage in like Middle East. And whenever they're antagonizing people like they were in 2000,
right?
They were talking about it for over 2 years that they were, you know, coming to a boiling point. And then something happens to us to where now we have a reason to go fight for there. Of course, it's going to be orchestrated because the Rothschilds created Israel with the help of the British Israelists over there, right? Who were the Balfour Declaration and all that. So we're looking at, you know, the same people who run our monetary bullshit fiat selecting and directing us to go fight wars for them, for banking interests, war for Israel's interest, which is basically the same thing.
That's right. Send the poor to go fight the war, as I like to say.
Nice. Like that song by Primus, Too Many Puppies.
Oh, yes, Primus, a classic there. I don't really hear Primus get thrown around on this program very often, so I appreciate that. A great bass player. I play bass too, so.
Oh, I'm yeah. Like, oh, Primus. I do, but not like that guy.
Oh yeah, we all can't play like that guy. That he's on another level.
Yeah, Southbound Pachyderm. I can do a little bit of that one. Like ding 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 ding, like ding ding ding. I can get that one when I practice it enough.
Very nice, very nice. Yes, I played in a punk rock band for many years, a punk ska band, and we played a few years after high school and blah blah blah. But there was a band from Mexico, a very popular band that covers one of our songs that we created like back in like 2003. So that's kind of cool for me, though. You know, that's a little bit of a feather in my cap there, even though it's meaningless, but it means something to me, damn it.
Right. So let me ask you a question, because I grew up in upstate New York. I was far away from all the cool music scene, right? What did, being from California, what did you think of like Operation Ivy and Mr. Bungle? Those two bands.
Right? We loved Operation Ivy out here because it's, you know, it's a ska. They had the ska thing going on, and that was huge out here in the 90s, early 2000s. We still like ska back then. So yeah, we loved Operation Ivy. A lot of kids did. That they're still a very popular band, actually.
Yeah, Jesse's awesome.
Dude. Even though they're not, you know, they're not exactly. There's no Operation Ivy anymore. That's now, you know, transformed into Rancid. But even Rancid right now still playing. They're still out there playing shows, and they're still, they're still selling out and making plenty of money, plenty of money. And,
Jesse and Tim are back in a band called Bad Optics too.
Oh yeah, they're still doing that.
Yeah, oh, well, they were last year. I'm not sure what they're doing now, but I think they put out an album.
And those guys are already kind of old.
Oh yeah,
they're pretty old already.
And the only reason I brought that up, because once you said bass player, the first thing I can think of is like the reason why I really liked it, that music, was Matt Freeman, man.
Matt Freeman,
like crazy, amazing.
He's had some great riffs, that's for sure, on the bass there. Great bass player. They say he's probably one of the best in the punk rock scene.
I would agree with that for sure. Not that I am a connoisseur or I'm not like, you know, I'm not a master of music of any kind, but I just, you know, I know what I like, and I definitely like Matt Freeman's bass lines for sure.
Yeah, he's pretty killer. No doubt, no doubt. And Daniel, my God, I'm still looking at the background there. I'm still distracted by the I've been looking at the piano and the light and the fireplace. I'm like, damn, I want to be in that living room in that place. Where is that? I'm wondering. It's probably like somewhere in Hawaii, Colorado. Oh, now I'm in a different place. Now I feel like I'm in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Tropic Thunder. That's a good one. That was like the war room for InfoWars.
Right. Or that too. Yeah, now I'm talking to Alex Jones now.
Oh, I hope.
Or Owen Schroyer. Yeah. I'm talking to Owen Schroyer now, fresh out of jail. I'm like, oh, Owen, there you are. You look great. You shaved your face, Owen. And now you look like a pro wrestler now. Coming out of the entrance there.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll go back to the comm stuff.
Okay, there we go. Now we're back to normal, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening to this, we're back in a more pleasant scene. The background is a nice fireplace and a piano. It's very welcoming tonight. It's very homely. I like it, Daniel. I like it.
Oh, thank you.
But you still got to get that bookshelf, though. We got to get that library going for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I need a servant, too. I need somebody in a butler outfit to come over and make coffee.
Yeah, that'd be great. And what kind of shirt is that? I'm seeing some blue figure on your shirt there. What is that, Daniel?
Okay. Well, first of all, it's laundry day.
Laundry day.
Reason number one, but my daughter's theme for her birthday this July was Stitch.
Okay.
And we're actually decorating her new room with a bunch of Stitch stuff. So
yeah.
Dad and mom had to wear a Stitch shirt for her birthday too. So this is where that came from.
Ah, very cool. Very, very cool. Lilo and Stitch or some shit like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
I don't really pay too much attention, but I know of the character so that I can follow along with my daughter because she likes it. So
I have to know everything and all these sort of things. I have to at least know something. So I don't exactly look like a brain dead cardiomyopathy victim, you know?
Right, right.
Gotta look sharp out here.
There's more. She goes through these things quick enough to where it's like the phases of what she likes and what she doesn't like. So we don't have to study too deep into it before it changes again.
Right. And how old is she now?
7.
She's 7.
Yeah,
ooh,
July.
Daniel, just wait birthday. Until she turns into a teenager, and then she's going to be like, Dad, get away from me. You're so lame.
I would like for the world to exist that long.
And she you will. Know, yeah, the world will be here. The world will be here. It's okay.
Oh, I know that, but will the people on top of it be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. We want them gone, no doubt.
Right.
Got to get those people. We got to get rid of them, no doubt. We got to get rid of these career politicians. That's the goal.
Right.
Get them
I'm all about
here.
Eugenics, but let's start with the problem, right?
That's right. And Daniel, you're not a Republican or a Democrat or a liberal.
No,
you don't really. I don't think you're in any of that. I didn't think so either. And I'm not myself. I'm none of those things. I've broken free from all those shackles and the yoke around my neck, as they say in the Bible.
Yeah. Common law sounds good to me if we ever did it. And I think cause no harm and do what thou wilt are polar opposites of one another, because it's more of a survival of the fittest. And if you can, you know, impose your will upon others, then that's okay with the do thou wilt type of mind frame, where cause no harm means do whatever you want, provided it doesn't cause loss, damage, or injury to someone else, which sounds like logic, you know, that you would want to do that so you wouldn't have repercussions from some of your actions should those people man up and go after you, right? So it's just common sense not to tread on other people and, you know, stay within your boundary lines. But as far as politics, absolutely not. You know, it's even hard for me to say that. I mean, I would say that as far as a guiding principle for other people who need things spelled out for them, maybe the Constitution and the first 10 amendments are something that you should pay attention to. Or at least understand that those are, like, you know, rights that nobody gets to take away from you. But they don't defend themselves. You know, you can't expect criminals to prosecute themselves. You can't expect them to throw themselves into jail, and you can't expect them to put themselves into checks and balances if the people themselves don't do anything when they violate. So we have what we have because we got what we deserved by not doing anything about it. Sitting around waiting for something else to happen or someone else to fix it is why we're this far down the road, I think.
Well, there's no argument for me. I believe there's a lot of people out there who would like to believe that sort of thing, that life will just magically get better if they elect the guy that they want in there.
Yeah, no.
They don't realize that they're all the same. They've all been compromised. As soon as they sign on that dotted line and become the president of the United States, you already have signed away all your rights, in my opinion. You forfeited all your rights.
Get ready to feel the heat with Maybelline New York's Lifter Plump. It's their newest lip plumping gloss, and it packs some intense heat. And that's because it's formulated with chili peppers to bring a heated sensation and an instant plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. Buy Lifter Plump now on Amazon and use the code 10PLUMP to get 10% off for a limited time.
Right, already. Now you are part of the system. You are very much a politician like the rest of them. No matter how much you want to sort of make people disbelieve that, I'm different. Oh, I'm different. I'm not a politician. I'm a bad guy. I'm a badass. There's no way I'm a politician. I'm the guy on the outside. You know, they all want you to believe that they're on the outside, but they're all the same. They're all the goddamn same.
Exactly. And there's a saying from the true powers that be that kind of goes something like, when the people want or need a hero, we'll furnish it. They're going to be controlled, right?
That's right. And again, I was referring a little bit to some of the Donald Trump fans out there. I mean, the Don, don't get me wrong. You know, he's a fellow fight fan like myself. He's been to plenty of boxing events. I've seen the man at plenty of boxing events in the late 90s. My father also took me to Vegas plenty of times. I saw a lot of professional boxing fights. And the Don was right there. So, you know, it's been a different sort of a relationship I've had in my mind with the Don, because at an early age, I kind of knew who he was, but then I sort of forgot. And then later, I was kind of reintroduced to him again through reality TV. So I always kind of thought he was like a reality TV star. And I always blamed him for that era of TV, by the way. The surreal life, the, you know, all that era, that 2005 era of reality TV. I always kind of figured that this was Trump's fault, in my opinion. He's the one who jumpstarted all this shit. My relationship with him has always been kind of a tumultuous one, where there's times where I like the guy. He says a lot of amusing things that I love. I mean, don't get me wrong. He says so many crazy things. I love it. It's amusing. And I like that so many people get very angry about him, too, because I like being a bit of an instigator and, you know, being a shit stirrer. So, you know, I kind of like that aspect of it all. So, you know, it's a very weird sort of thing, because I like the guy, but then I'm like, you know, he's pretty much like everyone else.
And what's with him after, you know, the results are in, Trump? You don't need to keep telling everybody that you're the father of the vaccine when the bodies are stacking up.
Wasn't that a mistake? Why would he want to take credit for that as well? Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I thought, why do you want keep putting that out there? You know, that's one thing that I have a hard time trusting the man, because he was the one that loves the whole, I am the one that started Operation Warp Speed. I did this, I did that with the vaccine. And I can't believe it. He was out of his mind.
Right. Yeah, Captain Warp Speed, for sure.
So it's like, how do you go back from that, though? Did the American people just sort of, like, the American public, I should say, did they just sort of forget what happened?
How do you reconcile Dershowitz being part of his crew? Ooh, you know? Know,
that's another one. That's another asterisk right there by the name. And Fauci, he let Fauci sort of run shit out there. I thought, where are the balls, Don? You know, you claim to have them, but you're still letting this little man walk around and parading. What's up with that?
And wasn't his best buddy JFK Jr., or, you know, how they inflate that story that they were best buddies? Right. So why didn't he let his, I guess that would be his net, whether it be his cousin? I don't know.
Some shit, yeah.
Because RFK Jr. was supposed to, you know, be a part of some kind of vaccine safety committee that never happened, never came to fruition.
That's right. He said something along the lines a few years ago of, like, if you don't take the vaccine, you... Oh, wait, no, that was in regards to climate change. He was saying something, and if you didn't believe in it, then you belong behind bars or some crazy thing like that.
Who said that?
RFK Jr.
Really? He said, well, if you don't believe in...
Correct. I could look that up right now and I'll tell you.
Holy crap.
So that's why I'm RFK Jr. What was that? Go ahead.
He's also anti-gun. So, people should keep that in mind too.
Really? Oh, yeah. He is anti-gun. I just saw that right now.
Yeah.
Not
a good candidate if you want to defend yourself against tyranny.
Not really. You know, he says a lot of things that I liked. You know, he says a lot of things that made sense to me, but then at the end of the day, I hate saying this phrase, at the end of the day, Elena, a lot of people hate that saying, so do I, but it's kind of true, though, in this regard. He's still that guy, though, that believes a lot of other crazy shit, too. So it's kind of hard to align yourself to anyone, really, once you find out other things that they believe in. You just think, oh no, he was so smart here, but then he really drops the ball on this other issue, and you just sort of, like, put your hand on your head and say, how is this possible?
Yeah. When I, you know, doing the research for the book, looking at the history of the Roman Catholic Empire and its alleged, you know, allegedly being dissolved in 1814 for good, which is obviously not true. I mean, they kind of just are controlling things by proxy, right? They have their governments established in different places, taking care of business, and then you want to think of, like, the Rothschilds, they're like the world, you know, the property managers for the world estate. Because when you look at some of their older paintings, even, they have some of the highest accolades that people receive from the Holy See for their service to Rome. Like, you see the stars on their, the medallions on their chest. It's the eight pointed star, which could either be Maltese or it could be the Star of Saint Sylvester. Doesn't really matter which one it is. It's something that's awarded to you for your service to Rome. And they did actually bail out the Holy See in 1858, I think it was, somewhere around there, for a crazy amount of money by today's standards. So some people would look at that as them buying them out, but you know, and controlling them. But I see it the other direction. I think it was just their servants to Rome, and probably have been anciently, because there used to be Bowers before the Rothschilds. Who the hell knows what their name was after, before that? You know, things change over history. So they could have a really deep, dark lineage.
You never know. That's the problem. You really don't know all the real history behind a lot of things, because it's kind of like it's lost, really. Like, yeah. Human origins, for instance, Daniel. I'm not sure what you really believe in, in that aspect, but it's like every year or every couple, let's just say every like 10 years, scientists move the goalpost back further and further in time. And I think we're really, I think man's extremely ancient, and we're old as shit, I'm pretty sure. We've Absolutely. Been here for a very, very long time, longer than what's recorded and known, in my opinion. And some people believe we even walked amongst dinosaurs at times. But I'm not a creationist or anything, but there are people out there that point out different sites out there around the world. You know, there's the...
Michael Cremo, right?
Like Michael Cremo, correct. Yeah. Michael Tellinger, and so forth and so forth. So, you have? He's a nice guy, I heard.
Well, you went to Contact in the Desert. I was there in 2018 and 2019 just as a patron, whatever.
Nice, okay. He was there.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Tellinger was there those 2 years. And Brian Forrester, I went to see his workshops.
Yeah.
And he was a good dude too. Very and Robert nice. Schott 1 year was there. Dude is super tall. Well, I'm short. I'm an Italian, but he's still
He's a Nephilim.
Yeah.
He's like Brad Olson, who's also, I always tell him that he's a Nephilim as well. That guy is like 9 feet tall. No, he's not 9 feet tall. He's like I think he's pretty much close to 7 feet tall, I would say.
Jesus.
He is goddamn huge, and I'm like 5'10". So he looks funny standing next to me. Are you gonna be attending any conference in the near future, or are you too far out?
I hope that, you know, working this book and getting it out there will hopefully lead to a speaker engagement at some of these places eventually. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's just a matter of me, you know, getting it out there some way, shape, or form. So I've got other people trying to work on that for me too, and not really like anything official capacity. I'm not paying anybody, but they're, you know, there's people out there that have read the book and they like it and they want to see me do well. So
I could make a few calls, Daniel. Don't worry.
Yeah, like I actually submitted the thing to Contact. It's got to be a cheap date. I don't live far away.
Oh, no. Well, I know people that have worked in the conference stuff and,
you know, watching his videos on YouTube since 2016 or whatever, you know, whenever I could catch up from that. He was in Sedona one time, and that was a pretty cool video. I didn't catch that one, but I happened to catch it on YouTube, you know. And there was a... There's a lot of really cool, like some Stephen Mailer. Do you know who Stephen Mailer is?
To be honest, I don't think I do.
Mailer. I don't even know if he's still alive.
Not ringing the bell. Oh, he's gone? He's dead.
I don't know if he is or not. He was a Rosicrucian.
Oh,
but he
was
involved with, you know, I guess supporting the idea of Robert Schock's with the age of the Sphinx being much, much more ancient than they're saying.
That's recorded,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then who was the guy that Robert Schock was working with that passed away? I forgot his name. He was kind of a Libby guy, but he died recently, a couple of years back. I think they did actually a tribute to him the last year I was there at Contact, but I can't remember him. He was one of Robert Schock's associates.
I think I know who you're talking about, but now it's a name that I haven't heard in a while myself, right. But... Damn, yeah, I know the guy you're talking about, but why can't I come up with a name? But I know who you're referring to.
Lee. No, I don't know. I can't remember his name.
Well, it'll probably come back to us maybe even tomorrow. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's the guy. It always happens that way. But the reason why I asked is because, you know, there's all these conferences going on out here in California. You know, you have like the Conscious Life Expo and Contact in the Desert. And there's a bunch of other smaller ones as well, but... It all seems to go down here in California, and I thought, damn, it'd be nice for you to come out here with the family and all that jazz. But again, we'll have to get you on the talk circuit, as they say, with a book, and you have a good chance. I'm pretty sure that could That could definitely come true for you.
Cool. Thank you so much. I would be forever in your debt.
Yeah. No worries. I'll definitely make it happen. And again, I do like the book. I was reading that, reading somewhat of what I could in the Kindle thing here.
And like I said, I can gift it to you too if you want it, or I can send you one because you guys, you're not. I could send you a hard copy.
I wanted an autograph version of it.
Okay.
That's what I would love.
So would you like the 8.5 by 11?
Oh shit! You
or
have
the Barnes and Noble 6 by 9.
Damn! Why do you have the two versions there?
I just wanted something a little bit different for Barnes.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And it's a different variation of it. So,
well, what do you like better, in your opinion?
The 8.5 by 11 is color. There's not a lot of pictures in there, but of the pictures that are in there, they're color. So.
Ooh, I want that one then.
Okay.
I want to see the nice pictures and definitely autograph that for me. And going back to the book here for a moment here, just to let the listeners know, if you can remember, do you have a favorite chapter in the book that you, for some reason, it was like, this is it right here. This is the meat and potatoes of it all.
I think the closing chapter, the AI parasites, demons, or same, blending that into, well, as that comes down into a few parting topics, that is like the culmination of everything else. But a lot of what I did in this is because Bill Cooper, did that 42-part series called Mystery Babylon. So he's been dead for since 2001, right? So a whole generation has growing up, possibly not even knowing who he was. So I wanted to reintroduce him to some people and remind others of who he was. So a couple of his, actually, I kind of sprinkle it in throughout the book to kind of introduce the new topics for the next chapter, something from him. And he was talking about the same type of stuff, the priestcraft and things like that. So it all fit. Some of them were for, you know, psychological warfare, some of his episodes. So wherever it made sense to, you know, plug that in there, I got a chance to kind of work alongside Bill in the only way that I can, you know? So that was kind of a lot of fun for me. I really enjoyed doing that. And I have probably listened to, in the last 3 years, probably listened to maybe 1,000 hours or so of however many there are. I probably haven't missed that many.
He left about 6 years worth of shows, I think.
Yeah, like he started in 92 and he went on until 2001. So
what's crazy is I actually had a listener, this old man. He's dead now, but allegedly he was a friend of Bill's way back in the day. And he told me some things, but I mean, I don't know if any of them are true or not. So that's why I'm kind of careful of even saying anything here. But regardless, we will never know. But
if you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Allegedly, an old fan of his was here, and he was telling me all kinds of different stories about the guy. He had a wicked sense of humor, according to the friend.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of believe that part.
Mm.
I could see that. There were some other allegations he made, but I don't know if we could even go there, you know. Some strange ones. In the same vein of one Jordan Maxwell, there's some strange allegations there as well.
Oh, Jordan Maxwell went hard on Bill Cooper after he was dead, saying all kinds of nasty stuff about him because
he
made a video on that one because he was called out basically while he was being interviewed by Bill. He kind of, he doesn't try to say that he's an adept, but he kind of revealed the fact that he was a Mason or something of that nature while he was talking, you know, he was kind of like presenting these ideas about everything being part of the paganist thing, and it's all sun worship, and it's not really have anything to do with the religion. And he's like, and Bill is like, you mean that's what they believe, right?
Right.
And he kept on, you know, giving the nod like that. And then he went on to do another video where he's reading from Jordan Maxwell's book, and he's saying, this is what they believe. This is what the adepts believe. Not what I believe, but they basically, you know, putting Jordan Maxwell in the category of being a Freemason.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting that he did that. He never mentioned his name or anything. He just read from his book, though.
I see. Well, there are some very shocking allegations about Jordan Maxwell having done something unsavory to a child.
Oh my God.
So that's one of the rumors out there. But there's a lot of things about that for some reason. I don't know if it's true or not, but that is one of the more damning rumors I heard. Who knows?
You're talking about Maxwell still, though, right? You're talking about
Jordan Maxwell. And, you know, I actually ate dinner with the guy, or lunch, rather, with the guy at the Conscious Life Expo a couple years back, 2016. And he was a very interesting character. I enjoyed my time with him, to be honest with you. And it was fun to meet the guy and spend time with him. He told me a lot of stories about David Icke as well. A lot of stories that he repeats all the time. Yes, in the most negative ways, absolutely.
Yeah, he was if you don't mind me saying so, I think he plagiarized from every single decent book out there. And, 1666, Redemption Through Sin by Robert Sepper. He took that book and wrote his own. And whenever it had to do with the heavy amounts of data that he took from Robert Sepper's book, he just says Jewish sources instead of actually identifying where he got the data from. And he was on a London reel that Robert Sepper basically he made a video showing that one. And it was about Sabbatai Zevi and Jacob Frank and stuff like that. And it's so funny because Robert doesn't say anything directly. Robert's just at a picnic table in the video reading his own book. And he's got like a little small square screen of the London reel. So he's obviously correlating that the guy's stealing from him, right? But he doesn't say anything.
That's brilliant.
I found it very classy. You know, it's funny how he was just like, you know, making it known.
I got to see that now. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've spoken
to his son before, by the way, Garrett. And
I think, do you know who Wham is? World Alternative Media?
Doesn't ring a bell.
He interviewed, not too long ago, too.
Oh, Gareth Icke?
Oh, no, David.
Oh, David Icke. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Interesting. Yeah, it'd be fun to talk to him, to David. And his son. I mean, I haven't talked to his son in a number of years, and his son was not like what he is today, by the way, that's for sure. He turned very much into the conspiracy sort of thing, into the, I guess you can say, a sort of conspiracy pundit of sorts. I don't know what to call some of these guys, or how they want to sort of present themselves out there to the world. They want to, pretend that they're like these really serious sort of people. You got to respect me, you got to listen to me, god damn it. These sort of personalities that are, you know, fake, phony, and kind of gay, in my opinion. But I'm not any of those things. I'm gonna be the way I'm always gonna be, no matter what. Other people, though, they're pretenders of sorts. Daniel, they're, you know,
yeah. Well, that's what I think Alex Jones is, too. I think he was created to divert attention away from people who actually were putting out good, you know.
Yeah,
honest data.
Yeah, he's, you know, I really liked Alex so much in the early years, Daniel. It pains me to see that he became this way. You know, he became everything that he was once against, to be honest.
You guys just recently did a video about his, you know, you're showing the Tucker, or like playing the Tucker thing.
Oh, yeah.
Tucker's all acting like he's so mystified by his predictions.
Oh my God, yeah. He did that, right?
It was Bill Cooper on Hour of the Time.
Yeah.
Beating him by months at a time. And then all this, you know, now that he's gone.
It's because he was more popular. It's because he was more popular at the time.
You're trying it. Yeah.
But yeah, that came from a Bill. And there's audio of that.
You know that happens to you. Like, you'll say something and you'll be, you know, talking about it for the first time. And then it goes somewhere like, you know, probably like Stu, let's just for example, Stu Peters. Now all of a sudden it's brand new. Well, like, yeah, you never were talking about it.
Oh, yes.
Right. As soon as they pick up the story, then it's breaking. Right.
There you go.
So irritating, right?
It's very irritating. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, but Alex was a very, very different back in the day. And I just wonder what happened to that guy. That guy's gone Bill. Now.
Yeah. He was in shape for a while there. Not too long, but for a little while.
For a little while there, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully he stays around for a while, but he seems like a heavily individual who's very heavily into alcohol.
You think that's what his voice is all about?
I don't know what happened to his voice either. he didn't sound like that before.
Hmm.
It just became very gravelly later on.
It makes you wonder if it's even like, if he's just trying to like do guttural, you know, like some people sing like that. It makes me wonder if he's like on purpose.
In my opinion, it's kind of like how pro wrestlers talked in the 90s, 80s.
Yeah.
They all have that sort of, they all want to talk that way. Kind of like Hulk Hogan. They all want to sound like that sort of way. I'm not sure why.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, like that. They all talk that way. They all did. It was good cocaine, I guess, back in the day.
Oh, I'm sure there was plenty, yeah. Cocaine and steroids, how can you go wrong?
Yeah, the good stuff. The very, very good stuff. But yeah, you got to be careful using testosterone and just every kind of steroid in general. I was going to list a very specific kind, but then I thought, wait a minute, all steroids are pretty much bad for your body because, you know, you have all these other things that go on. Your estrogen levels screw up as well.
Right. And you shouldn't play chemists with yourself when you don't even know what the real science is because everything we're told is a bunch of bullshit and half a truth, you know?
Yeah, you got to be careful. Right. Be very goddamn careful doing any of that. And someone that's in health as yourself, I'm sure you're around plenty of people that probably have used, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it sucks too because I used to follow Johannes or Joe Aesthetics, and he passed away at 30 after talking on Bradley, whatever his name's show was, that he had not one, not two, but four COVID shots.
Wow.
That he got plasmapheresis twice to try to get the crap out of him, and it doesn't get it all out. So then we'll drop dead of an aneurysm. So they say. I don't know what the real cause of death was when he was back in Thailand. Wow. But he came to the U.S. his first time. German, right? He used to be a professional bike rider, like, you know, going off jumps and stuff like that. And then got into bodybuilding, Joe Aesthetics. Good human being, like a real human being. But, you know, people are saying it was the anabolics. I'm like, there's no friggin' way it was the anabolics. He didn't drop dead at 30 because of that. He was, you know, it's had to do more to do with the four times he took poison directly into his body.
Yeah, it doesn't help. It doesn't help you if you do that. That's for sure.
Yeah, if you play Russian roulette and you click five times and there's two bullets in there, there's only six, you know, times it goes around, you're gonna get popped.
Right.
So it's could it be that, or is it the fact that he did anabolics? I mean, come on.
No, it's once you introduce that other stuff as well on top of everything else you got going on.
Right, and that could have been a catalyst for it. Like, right. You know how everything gets sped up. I mean, if there was poison in there that could have been interacting with it, then boom, you know what I mean? Set you right off. But,
that sucks. Rest in peace to him. And yeah, a lot of people drop dead very early due to steroids and other things that they're doing as well. It's always a cocktail of things that do you in the end.
Right.
So it seems. I mean,
there's been a lot of people dropping from the you would assume it would be the shot since they had it and there was no other reasoning that you could think of. I don't think people like naturally just drop dead just because hearts just stop just because. I always think there's something nefarious about that, you know. I don't know.
We don't know for sure, but yeah, I think there's something to it though as well. There's got to be. And my goodness, Daniel, it's been a great time here talking to you. I mean, time's been going by rather quickly here.
And who knows what the reasoning is behind why certain people fund certain things and
true
who's supporting them and who's propping them up. But, you know, there's a lot of artificial stuff going on especially in the thing that they, I hate words that are made up. I hate them. I'm an English major. I hate freaking words that are made up, but like, truther.
Can you truther, just yeah.
talk like a freaking human being? You know, it's like Patriot Channel. Or,
well, people like to give labels and titles to everything. It makes people feel a little bit more exotic, I guess you can say.
Yeah, like Torba with the whole Christian nationalist thing. Like, yeah, I mean, you might as well just call yourself a domestic terrorist before the FBI does.
There you go. But yeah, these you really never know what the intent is behind who funds what and what goal they have in mind and what agenda is being driven which way. We truly won't ever know. That's the problem. To some regards.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's fun to at least if you can get, so that's why I go back into the history, because it's like a mess up on the top layer, right? But if you go further as far as you can before that kind of blends into a bunch of question marks too, and just kind of follow the line, the pattern of behavior throughout history, you can kind of identify by those markers who's doing it, or at least the views and the mindset of it. So if it's a mystery school influence, if it's, you know, Jesuit, or if it's like a Sufi mystic, or if it's some sort of Kabbalah or whatever,
right? It'll give you a hint.
Kabbalah will go into the Freemason thing too, because they picked up on it. So you can kind of trace these things, and they kind of there's some intersections, a lot of them actually. But then you can kind of identify what they've done in the past, what they're probably going to do now, and what they're straight up telling you they're going to do, because I think they feel like they've won, like it's checkmate. So we might as well just scare the piss out of you before we, you know, we're playing with our food. They're a big cat playing with their food right now, you know, we're the mouse.
Yeah, that's the way they look at us. No doubt. And when exactly do you do your show, by the way, Daniel, for those at home wondering?
Okay. Yeah. So I go on to Rumble, periodically, like when Mondays I do 8:30 Pacific time a.m. and I do coffee talk. On Thursdays I have Dr. Peter Glidden come on, and that's 11 a.m. Pacific. And anytime I come up with a guest, I just basically let them pick what's most convenient for them. So I'll just go on whenever when they give me a set time, then I'll write on the calendar, send out the Telegram notifications of, you know, what's coming up the next week. And I have the Telegram group for that. But, you know, that's about it. Like, I have the Monday and the Thursday for sure. And then if I fill in anything else, then I just do it. Sometimes I wake up middle of night and like, you know what? I don't want to go back to bed. I got stuff on my mind. And I start up freaking, hey, is there anybody out there in the UK or in Australia awake? Because it's probably 5 o'clock in the afternoon for you, but it's late for everybody else. And then that's right. One, so. Yeah.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah. And you could just go to Rumble and,
rumble.com.
There you go.
And then it's /C/ ballbusters.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. That's all the information you need. Just go to Rumble and search ballbusters.
Yes, sir. And thank you so much for having me on. That's awesome.
Yeah, Daniel, I had a great time. I hope you enjoyed your time here on the program. It was good to have this talk with you. And of course, we'll do a round two of this conversation once I dive deeper into your book. We'll talk further about other things as well. It just doesn't have to be about the book, but right. We'll talk about all kinds of fun stuff as well. Things that we didn't really get to cover here.
Can we talk to Mike?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Mike next time?
That'd oh, yeah, cool. Of course. He was just a little bit busy at this hour.
Oh, I got you.
But I'll definitely set something up where he could join us, no doubt. It'll be a fun time. Absolutely. Well, my friend, thanks for being here and hanging out with and sharing your time with us. And we'll do it again soon, my friend.
I really appreciate it. It was fun. And thanks for having me on, sir.
And there he goes, boys and girls. That was today's guest, Mr. Daniel Crystals of the Ballbusters podcast. A great name, by the way. We really appreciate that. And ladies and gentlemen, we do want to thank you for being a part of the program. It's always a honor and pleasure to have you here. It truly is. It truly is. And remember, if you want bonus content, please go to michaeldeacon.com/Patreon. And you can find everything you need right there. Merchandise, the newsletter, get yourself some merchandise over at michaeldeacon.com, and of course disable that ad blocker and sign up for the newsletter today. Stay informed about the program whenever we go live. You never want to miss a live show, that's for sure. And with that said, the world is a mysterious place, and life itself is a mystery. Until next time, mahalo. We'll be right back.